The University of Detroit Mercy presents another edition of Ask the Professor. Well, all of our faculty and staff are continuing to follow our governor's order to stay home and stay safe. But that isn't preventing our panel from getting together through Zoom video conferencing technology and recording another episode of Ask the Professor.
The University Tower Chimes bring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today, using the way everybody looks on my screen, to my relative, left, right, I don't even know, it's a mirror image. From the Department of Biology, it's Professor Stephanie Conant.
Hello.
So what is it like teaching second grade, Stephanie?
Well, my kids hate to write things, I've learned.
Oh.
They'll do math, they'll do science, they'll watch videos, but making them like, think of something you want to write about, write three sentences. They would rather poke their own eyes.
I think having a second grader at my home as well, I understand the sentiment. Although the push point the other day came to art. Is just sort of like pick one of these, you know, famous art pieces and mimic it, basically mimic its style. Yeah. Oh, I just don't want to do that.
Right. I told him to just go find three jokes, write the joke down, and then come tell me the joke. And they thought that was the worst idea ever.
Because it was mom's idea. That's why.
Exactly.
Continuing around the horn here, I see Professor Dan Maggio.
All right.
From the first organization. Poor First has got to be under some dire times here. The nature of Lego First is getting together and doing stuff.
Yes. So we're spending a lot of time trying to provide resources and solutions to our partners for next fall. Our teams have to get together, well, in the traditional way and in events. So when that can't happen, we're working on a toolkit to give them other solutions. So it's going to be an interesting ride next fall.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Cool. Well, at least there's a plan in place about, you know, getting...
There's a plan to develop a plan. Yeah. The difficult thing is you just can't give answers in a day. It takes time. So we're pushing it as quickly as we can.
Professor Dave Chow is here.
Oh, pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent, excellent. And what's going on in your big-headed world?
Oh, working on chocolate marketing and doing a caricature for a friend of mine's son who's graduating the University of Michigan, but isn't graduating. You know, it's like no ceremony. So they're doing all these video montages. So I've been asked, this is my fifth caricature this week.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot.
So my son's graduating, my daughter's graduating. Can you do something fun for the video? Sure.
We call it job security.
It's a living.
Glad to have you here, Dave.
Could be worse.
And thanks for the tip on all the streaming Star Treks. One thing's for sure, Star Trek Discovery, for those who want to dabble in it, there's enough episodes in the bank to keep you going for a number of weeks. So that was quite the nice recommendation. Professor Mara Livesey is here with us today.
Hello.
Hey, Mara, what surprising non-Tiger King related series have you found yourself getting into?
If you want to be incredibly sad and frustrated, I highly recommend Little Fires Everywhere.
Okay.
Reese Witherspoon, Kerry Washington, just like really great acting.
Interesting. Very interesting.
A lot of 90s chin and music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Netflix, I assume?
No.
Hulu. It's on Hulu.
Oh, Hulu. Okay. Excellent. Everybody's coming to Ask the Professor for all the latest recommendations. Next on my list is Professor Heather Hill from English. Oh, uh-oh. We need you to unmute, Heather.
Yeah, okay. I got so, you know, enraptured listening to everybody's activities during this crisis situation that I forgot to unmute.
What have you been up to, Heather Hill?
I am just so excited that gardening centers are starting to open up. My bulbs are up.
Nice, nice.
Her flowers are beautiful.
Aw.
Yeah, Beth actually, because Beth lives nearby, we, you know, when we go out, we ask each other if we need things from the supermarket, and she actually bought me some stamps today.
Nice.
Good.
Well, she came by and saw my pretty flowers. So I'm very excited about them.
I was thinking about you, Heather, because we've been doing a lot of weeding at my house recently, and this will result in...
Reading? Did you say reading?
Weeding. I'm kidding. Green thumb. No, we're getting... you'll be pleased to hear that 8 yards of mulch are being dropped off in my driveway tomorrow morning, which will likely keep me and the boys busy all weekend.
So. Lovely. What color?
It's just a contrast thing at the Mayo house. We get the dyed stuff. It is a natural dye, so don't feel too bad about it, but it's black.
Yeah.
What time does your family get up?
We're going to go to our next introduction.
The early morning run over to the Mayo. You won't miss a little truckload.
Right. They actually said they could drop it off at 8 a.m. and I was really, really surprised. Yeah. I was like, whoa, like that's awesome.
I'm sorry. How many yards again, Matt?
8 yards.
Ooh, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
Who's dropping it off?
That's a good question. It's a little joint in Clawson. I just started casting a little circle on my phone until I found who was available and who would service domestic, because there are a lot of contracts for big stuff lately.
Right,
so,
right.
He claimed, I'm sure you'd be happy to hear, Heather, it's like, business is as good as it's ever been. I'm like, well, it is spring, so, you know.
Cool. I'm going to need some mulch at some point, so.
There you go.
Having it delivered is a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm good. I'm well.
Excellent. It's good Thank to hear. You. Professor James Balfour Tubbs is here with us, always looking rested.
Oh, well, it hasn't been a restful day, but I'm sitting in my armchair, so I'm resting at the moment.
That's okay. It looks very genteel. You almost look like you're going to give us a fireside chat or something like that. You know?
Aha. Well, don't get me started.
How have you been, sir?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah. This is the second video conference meeting I've had today. So it's just keeping up with things.
That's right. Sometimes I feel like it's exactly the same as the way it used to be, except for I don't really move in three-dimensional space. I just stay right here, you know.
Virtual, everything that was before, yes.
That's right.
Your fault's okay, Jim?
Well, my mom had a fall today and is had a brain bleed from that, so she's not really responding to anything except when she's in pain, so we're sort of waiting to see. She's in the hospital, so I've been getting updates about that as we went. So
okay,
we'll see.
We'll keep them in mind.
Thanks.
Last, but most certainly not least, it's Professor Beth Oljar from Philosophy.
Who always brings up things for people to worry about, apparently.
Well, it's good to worry sometimes.
Thank you for worrying.
But I've always been thinking about everybody's parents, too. So.
Right, right, exactly. Well, that there's nothing wrong with that. And I see that you are in the library of your home.
Sort of, yeah, my office.
Yeah, nice and studious. That's the way it feels. How have you been lately?
Right on the wall behind me, Dave. I don't know if you can see, but...
Oh, yeah.
I can see. I know my handiwork, even from here.
The Zombie Beth calendar.
And everybody should watch The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, yes.
I have heard good things about that.
It is.
It's great.
It's funny. And the clothes alone and music from late 1950s in New York. I mean, Frank Sinatra and, you know, Dean, it's great. Everybody should watch this show.
I can go get awesome. I can go on the computer.
Oh, we have a visitor here.
We don't have a lot to contribute anyway.
Not Heather.
It's Professor Stephen Manning.
A talking disembodied head.
I notice how Heather kind of muted everything there when he got involved.
Yeah.
It's good to see you, Stephen.
And officially retired now, yes?
Oh, yes. Oh, my. There's people coming from all sides here. I'll tell you what, folks. We're going to continue with the show here because, of course, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. Find us on Facebook or listen in your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. So we have a set of questions here that were sent in. Melanie Petrovsky of Sterling Heights, Michigan Former student of Professor Jason Roach, who of course is our executive producer. Dear professors, if you're looking to be stumped, then find a tree, why don't you? Mm-hmm. All jokes aside, I believe you'll have a hard time figuring out these brain benders. I hope you'll have some fun, you clever people, and figure out these challenges. Good luck, Melanie.
Sure, so I think, bring it on.
Yeah, let me just give you a little warm up to see where this is going, because the body and the mind, right? You know, sharp in these uncertain times. We see it once in a year, twice in a week, and never in a month. What is it?
Letter E.
The letter E, yes. Okay, so that's the kind of questions that are going to be coming our way here. No grade scale, by the way. Just double checking.
We pass.
I was saying, in that case, could you speak slowly?
Sure, absolutely.
Yes.
What, ladies and gentlemen, is as big as a hippo, but doesn't weigh anything?
My shadow?
Yeah, that's right. The hippo's shadow.
The hippo's shadow. I didn't mean to suggest that I was a hippo. Thank you for not making that connection.
So your shadow's heavier than a hippo? Or, no, wait, how does that work?
No, this is getting complex. Let's see. If we dig a hole in our backyard, so this might be up Heather's alley, and it's 3 feet deep, 4 feet wide, how much dirt is in it?
None if it's a hole.
You need, if you want cubic, you need another dimension there, I think.
Yeah, I think we need another dimension. But Heather answered the question without even saying a word. I loved it. It was just like,
what? You're in black and white. I like the look.
No, monochromatic.
It was Heather's anxious look.
How about this one? I weigh nothing. I see a trend here. But no one on this planet can hold me for longer than 10 minutes without dying.
Breath.
Yeah.
Water. Oh.
Who can hold their breath 10 minutes?
Not me.
Not me.
I could try. Nobody. That would make for a great show.
Isn't a brain dead after like 2 minutes?
Yeah. I think I seem to remember that. Isn't it like 2 weeks, 2 hours, 2 minutes for like water, food, and or whatever it is. I don't know, you know, oxygen.
Tell that to the naked and afraid people.
You can hold this without touching it. What is it?
Somebody's gaze.
You're on the right track. We're doing it right now, actually.
Attention.
What was that?
The conversation.
Attention.
Yeah, attention conversation. I'm giving full credit for this one. How do you make the number one disappear?
Subtract it from itself.
Yeah.
A fancy eraser?
All partial credit.
Add any other digit to it.
Yeah, or you make a four out of it.
You can add something to it to get it to disappear, that's for sure. How about a letter?
You can make it a T or an L.
Yeah.
How about if you add the letter G and then it would be
gone.
Yeah.
Oh. Stephanie, I think there's a lot of good questions here for your kids, really.
Let them know this is like a junior PSAT, that's all.
Hey, why does Waldo of Where's Waldo fame wear stripes?
Because he just got out of jail.
And it's also the 1920s. No. Right.
So he's easier to find?
You're on the right track.
None of the other figures in the pictures wear stripes?
I think that was the original design element, Jim, but that's not the sort of joke answer that they're going for here.
He's a dork.
He doesn't know how to dress himself.
Heather gets partial credit.
Oh, really?
He doesn't know how to dress himself. Yeah, it's not exactly a common way to dress, Heather. It says here, well, he doesn't want to be spotted.
And what's wrong with herringbone then?
As Dave frantically draws a
paisley.
I could.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the 10 professors participating in this recording session We're connecting to each other from different locations. Thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful to those listeners who submitted questions for today's show, and we welcome your questions at atp@udmercy.edu. Now, let's return to our host, Matt Mayo, with more questions for the panel.
So, how do you put together a space party?
In orbit?
That's not snarky enough.
Too literal. Okay, I'm sorry.
Social distancing via the coronavirus?
Partial credit. You don't, because you can't. The end. Go home. Go to bed. No. Think of a good pun here. How do you put together a space party?
Order lots of it.
You blast off.
Getting closer.
Don't invite many people.
You plan it.
You plan
it.
You know, we didn't say these were dad joke questions, but they're definitely coming across.
Weird metaphysics jokes.
What would Socrates say to these?
Well, he didn't do metaphysics, so.
Or perhaps contraphysics.
Contraphysics. Oh, my gosh.
Which is more interesting.
Speaking of parties, what do houses wear when they attend a party?
Coat? House coat? No.
Most of the houses I know would wear a dress.
Oh,
first one we've gotten wrong, by the way.
Except on reservations in South Dakota.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
They don't have addresses?
No, they don't have street names or numbers.
Mm-hmm.
How do they identify themselves then?
Well, the problem is, how do they register to vote because of that when they are required to have an ID that requires a street address?
Good to look.
Let's try this one. I have a neck, but no head, two arms, but no hands. What am I?
Arm, a jaw.
What was that, Beth?
An urn.
A ewer. Yeah.
That's not bad, actually. That's not what it says, but that's not bad at all.
A neck and what again?
I have a neck, but no head. Two arms, but no hands.
That'd be a chair of some kind.
A bottle?
A lamp?
You know, you're all in the wheelhouse. It's actually kind of amazing to see how you can compartmentalize sort of like 20 questions. You get into that area. They're looking for a shirt.
Okay.
All right. Shirt.
We weren't in the area at all.
Yeah. I don't know. I heard a chair and I was like, household item.
We were, in the sense that we were coming up with things that, strictly speaking, met that description.
Yes.
Even though they were not the intended answer.
Heather, you're correct. It could have been a blouse. It definitely could have been a blouse. There's no question about it. What two numbers whose product added to the sum of the squares is 109 and the difference of those squares is 24?
Dan?
I'm waiting. This was the speak slowly part. Can you repeat that? I'm not guaranteeing anything.
I thought I had.
For the benefit of everybody.
What two numbers whose product added to the sum of the squares is 109 and the difference of those squares is 24?
Man, you lost me after the word what?
7 and 5?
That is correct. That is correct.
Mathematical genius.
I know, he's just unbelievable.
Well, it was kind of a guess because the numbers were low. And he was talking about squares.
What is, let's wrap this one up because I don't know. I mean, that was actually kind of out of left field considering the rest of these. Horrific.
Yes, it was. There's no real pun there.
Yeah, well, I've got a doozy for you here at the end. What's the most romantic part of visiting the ocean?
Waves?
When the waves kiss the shore.
That's good, Jim. I like that. That's like 80% credit. Like,
the hopeless romantic that you are.
Yes. Jim has a poetic soul.
He's actually a poetic liver.
Nah, he's just getting off the cruise ship. That's why.
Yeah.
So what's the most romantic part of visiting the ocean? Well, it would be when the buoy meets the gull.
Oh, gosh.
It's just, it's brutal. It's gendered. You know, that's not very good either.
It's painful.
Very heteronormative.
Yeah.
I felt as though I just passed the stag horn.
Thank you very much for sending us those questions, Melanie. Those were
challenging.
Yes, they were very challenging.
Strange.
Let's switch gears real quick to something a little more lighthearted. Thanks again to Professor Livesey for encouraging her students last fall to send in questions. So this is from Clayton Blackwell, who's graduating. One of our more interesting stories at Detroit Mercy, getting his BA in religious studies and going to dental school. So anything is possible.
Oh, he's a very sharp guy.
Absolutely. Located near the coast of Lake Huron, this ancient zoo-like attraction is a must-see, no bones about it. What is it?
What, like a mastodon dig or something like that?
No. For the record, I'm doing the opposite, apparently, with the way Jeopardy is supposed to run. These are roadside attractions in the great state of Michigan, is what this
Like a giant dinosaur?
Yeah, it's called Dinosaur Gardens. They have a whole bunch of dinosaurs just hanging out in the forest.
Hmm.
He's included the hyperlinks to all the attractions as part
Gotta
of
go.
Very nice.
DinosaurGardensLLC.com.
It's the next remote, right, Michael? I mean,
does he work part-time for the Tourist Bureau?
It's entirely possible now that I think about it. A little more close to our home is the world's largest tire. What brand is it?
Uniroyal.
The Uniroyal tire. Did
I wrote it as a Ferris wheel at the 1964 World's Fair.
That's right. FYI, I can't help but bring it up because I always do. A very recent, as in the last couple weeks, episode of The Simpsons had one of the child characters reveal, this is me and you talking to a girl on our honeymoon, and they're driving past the Uniroyal tire. It's like only people from Michigan would get that joke. Let's see here. This Detroit icon was installed on September 23rd, 1958. The locals like to dress it up at certain times of the year.
Oh, the statue. Right. The Spirit of Detroit statue?
Spirit of Detroit. The Green Giant.
The Green Giant. That's right.
Marshall Fredericks.
The great Marshall Fredericks. This waterfall is located in the Lower Peninsula. How do you even pronounce it, though?
Aquamanin?
No, that's in the upper.
No, that's in the UP.
My bad.
Let's see.
The hint is it starts with the letter O.
There are lots of places where water is falling. Does that classify as waterfall?
Yes, earlier today, in fact.
It says here it's OCQUEOC, Oquacock Falls.
No.
Well, the problem is none of us could pronounce it.
Do we know where that is?
Yeah, we're going to have to look that up. That one's not hyperlinked.
It's the disadvantage of basically taking over the country from Native Americans. We're left with all those names now that nobody can pronounce, right? Like Sammamish, Snoqualmie, just to name a few in my part of the world, our part of the world.
That's right.
We have tons of names now that people can't pronounce because they're all Native American, which is really cool.
Is slightly due west of Rogers City. Off of Lake Huron, sorry.
There you go. Rogers City. I know where that is. What is the name of the lighthouse on Belle Isle?
Livingston?
Livingstone is what it says. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. William Livingstone Memorial Lighthouse. Very good.
Tallest marble one, too, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm. Detroit has a small district, sometimes called the Venice of Detroit, on the Upper East Side. What is the name of the island that is formed by those canals? This is serious trivia here. This is cool stuff. The Venice of Detroit. And New Baltimore is not what I'm going
for. And I know somebody who lives there.
What is it? We're talking like what? Like one of the gross points?
Does it begin with a K?
It does begin with a K.
Do I get partial credit for that?
Yes.
Thank you.
Come on, Stephanie. This is your neck of the woods, isn't it?
It's on the tip of my tongue.
If you can think of a current mechanical engineering professor's last name that starts with K and only say the first syllable, you'll get it right.
K? No.
His first name is Daryl.
Oh, Clanky.
It's Clank Island.
Yes.
Clank
Island. Yep.
Clank.
Clank Island?
Clank with an E, yes.
Clank. Oh, Clank. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Things that go clank in the night.
But not like Colonel Clank.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. That's where I was going with the Werner Klemperer thing. That's all.
Ooh, here's a good one that I would guess Professor Chow knows right off the top of his head. What mile road is a Frank Lloyd Wright house can be found on?
Where seven.
Seven.
Seven mile road.
Seven.
Heather could
nice
walk.
Job of restoring it too.
Yeah, you could walk to it, Heather and Beth.
Wow. Run by it every other day.
Mm. Oh, great.
The last question, and I think there might be a piece of missing information here, even though most of the bits and pieces are there. The Christmas capital of Michigan, wherever that is, that's I guess the point of the question, is how long of a drive from Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus?
It depends on who's driving, very much. Yeah. So we're talking Frank and Moose here?
An hour and a half.
Like an hour?
No, I would say 72 miles.
Right, so Professor Manning has...
Half hour.
Hour and a half.
An hour and a half. Oh, was it time? Are you on a time? Doesn't that depend on how fast you're driving?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
probably an hour and 15 minutes, maybe.
It says it's an hour and 27. You know, I got to give it to Stephen. Error bars, you know, error bars.
Yeah, but what about construction northbound 75 right about now? Looks like god awful.
Forget about the construction on 75. What about driving 118 miles per hour on 94?
Yeah.
Got you saw me? I thought I... Who did that?
Somebody did. It was in the news the other day, and they landed in New Baltimore and were arrested heartily.
And then claimed to be an off-duty police officer.
Yes. The time has come for us to say goodbye. I'll work my way up from the bottom of my screen back up to the top of Professor Hill.
Bye.
Professor Oljar.
Bye.
Professor Tubbs.
Goodbye.
Professor Manning.
Goodbye. Nice to see you're all safe and sound.
Professor Livesey.
See ya.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Maggio.
See ya.
And Professor Conant.
Bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus, No, it's coming from our basements and spare rooms. Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed by Michael Jason with help from Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Miles.